We're all aware by now that electrical infrastructure is the biggest, single greatest barrier to wide-scale EV deployment. There's not enough of it where it's needed, it takes forever to build, and dealing with municipalities and utility companies would test the patience of Job. We'll dig into those challenges on this episode of HDT Talks Trucking and explore what they mean for fleets looking to electrify. My guest is Matt Horton, the CEO of Volterra Power. His company develops charging facilities for light, medium, and heavy vehicles. He's run the utility company Gauntlet, and he knows how to navigate those minefields. Matt has spent more than 20 years building innovative transportation businesses as an investor, executive, and advisor. Prior to forming Volterra, Matt was an executive with Rivian Automotive, Proterra, and Propel Fuels. We'll get to Matt in just a moment, but first, please give us a like and poke that subscribe button. And when we're done, please leave us a comment. And in case you're new to this channel and want to learn more about the trucking industry, you'll find lots of great industry coverage on HDT's website, truckinginfo.com. This is HDT Talks Trucking. I'm Jim Park. We'll be back with Matt Horton right after this. Well, good afternoon, Matt, and thanks for joining us on HDT Talks Trucking.
Really glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for the invite.
Well, electric charging for heavy trucks is a bit of a challenge. We all know that there's problems out there in the world. Can we start this discussion with a 40,000-foot view? You know, there's, you know, things like, where are we going to get the power? Where are we going to get the infrastructure? Why are we pushing so hard to get this done right now when we have all these hurdles in front of us?
Yeah, great question, Jim. To get started with, you know, this is, I believe, one of the most important challenges as a society that we face today, especially as it relates to climate and to energy efficiency. We, as I think we all know, spend a tremendous amount of not only money, but your resources on transportation and logistics. The opportunity to move our transportation off of fossil fuels and combustion engines to clean electric propulsion, I think, is one of the biggest opportunities out there today, and something in the medium term that's really going to save not only emissions, but it's going to result in economic savings for us as well. So there are a lot of important drivers behind this move to go electric. But as you pointed out, it's not straightforward. It's quite challenging, in fact, to make all of this happen. One of the biggest challenges that we hear constantly from truckers and companies in the space is there are vehicles available, but they have nowhere to charge them. And until that changes, it's going to be difficult to roll out the vehicles in the numbers that we want. So this has created an enormous opportunity, a huge economic opportunity to build out all of this infrastructure. You know, some of the studies suggest that by the end of the decade, we'll be spending many tens of billions of dollars on the infrastructure just in the United States alone to rewire the grid and create a new transportation industry around electrification. But as I said, it's not easy. And a lot of truckers are in the early stages of deploying, a lot of lessons learned. I'd love to talk with you about some of those today. And just want to, again, highlight, I think this is an important opportunity. It's a big opportunity. But it's certainly full of some tricky challenges as well.
Well, we tend to talk about those challenges, the infrastructure challenges, in pretty general terms. Normally, I think it's safe to say California takes a spotlight when we're talking about that. Mm-hmm. But what's it like in other parts of the country? Do these challenges exist elsewhere, like New Hampshire and Rhode Island and North Dakota? Is electrification even possible in some of those places?
Yeah, it's interesting. In many respects, California is one of the hardest markets to actually roll out the infrastructure. But it is also the state that's had the most focus on this for the longest period of time. So there is generally more charging infrastructure in the state of California. We do have an issue that we call charging deserts in many places in the country where you just can't get the kind of charging that you need. And that's not only for heavy duty trucking, but it's also for light duty passenger vehicles. It's still the case in a lot of places that charging can be hard to come by. Mm-hmm. But it's especially challenging for big heavy vehicles that have very high power requirements. So you asked about, like, is it possible? There are solutions for almost every region of the country. Some do have extra challenges for sure, but we have found that it just takes some time, some focus and attention, and a supportive environment from policymakers and others to make it happen. We tend to see a lot of infrastructure built out in the coastal states and in more southern states where the weather's a bit warmer. And again, that tends to be where a lot of the electrification of vehicles has already taken place and the infrastructure is trying to catch up now. But it's a patchwork across the country. And we're optimistic in the long run that there's nowhere in the United States where we won't be able to have good charging infrastructure. But we have to start now, and it's going to take some time.
Yeah, I agree. What are those challenges? We talk about infrastructure challenges. Is it getting the wires from the power plant to the charging site? Is it putting up towers, tapping into the energy source? What are those infrastructure challenges?
Yeah, there are many. If I could describe it, probably the most critical challenge today is a shortage of distribution infrastructure, or maybe better said, we have adequate distribution from the utilities today for the world we live in today. We're moving into a different world where we're going to need to rewire the edge of the grid to be able to connect with all of these vehicles that are coming on stream. So it just takes a lot of work. It's very doable. These are things that we know how to do. In some cases, there will be new substations, new transformers, new transmission equipment that will be needed, distribution equipment. The biggest challenge that we have is getting power to the sites and to sites that are convenient for truckers and other users. So finding the right locations where the truckers need to be and finding the overlap with available power, probably the biggest challenge. The reality is we don't find that in most places. So that's when the hard work begins, when teams like ours get to work on the long-term work to bring new power to the site, prepare the sites, install all the charging equipment, as well as energy storage and solar in some cases. Doing all of that work takes several years often. So that's what our business is doing, is trying to get ahead of some of that demand, start tackling those challenges today so that we've got capacity ready when the trucks need it.
Well, is capacity a challenge? I mean, it's going to be at some point when you try and electrify 2 million heavy duty trucks, but can it be ramped up or go up incrementally? Or the other question there is it harder to find 5 or 10 megawatts of surplus power in an urban area or a rural area?
They're both different, are difficult in different ways. Urban centers are really tough to get that level of power. Most of the power that's available is already spoken for. And in that regard, we try to find it wherever we can, but usually we start a long conversation with the utility about the investments that we'll need to make in the time frame to bring new power into the city. That capacity is one of the key limiting factors. It's one of the most important commodities in this work we're doing to build out electrification. So the best sites, the easiest sites, a lot of that low-hanging fruit has already been harvested. Mm-hmm. So ahead of us, it's real work, but it's work that companies like ours are not afraid of doing. We know how to do this. Importantly, the capital markets globally are now mobilizing billions and billions of dollars to begin investing in this infrastructure. There's a recognition that we have to have it, that we've got to invest meaningfully to build it out. So the capital is now becoming available. We've got, in some cases, a couple decades worth of experience. A lot mm-hmm. of us have been in this business a long time in what it takes to build it out. And now, importantly, we've got support from the customers that are eager to get started, and from state and local and federal government that are providing incentives and support to make this happen. So all the right elements are coming together now, but we've still got a heavy lift ahead of us.
Well, for those fleets who are interested, the early adopters who want to get in on this now or soon, capacity limits being what they are, is it being doled out on a first come, first served basis? If you're not in there now, you're going to wait even longer to come available?
Yeah, that is a reality. And I think most customers are having this conversation just now with their utility, if they are doing this at all. What they're finding is they're getting excited about trucks. They've picked out the truck they want. They know, how they want to use it. They go talk to the utility, and the utility typically says, well, I'm sorry, you don't have enough power at your location. It's going to be 2 to 3 years to get you the power level that you're asking for. So that's pretty frustrating for truckers, even those that want to lean in and want to start electrifying. I'd say it's pretty common. It's something that we are trying to help those customers with, help them do the planning early so that they don't have that really negative surprise that it's going to be a long time before they'll be able to get the power they need.
Well, I want to talk to you more about exactly what Volterra does and how you can help fleets. But before we'll get to that towards the end of the interview. Generally speaking, can fleets do this alone?
They can. But it's not without a lot of pain, to be honest. I've been working with fleets on charging infrastructure for almost a decade now. And what we often find is in a first conversation with the fleet, they tell us, thank you for the offer of help. We think we can do this ourselves. They go hire a few people, go away, spend a year trying to figure it out, and often come back and say, hey, we figured out, not only is this really hard and complicated, it's not core to what we do. Can you help us? So there's definitely a learning curve. And fortunately, there are enough fleets that have tried it, some successfully, some less so, that there's a body of knowledge about what it really takes to do this yourself. And I think most trucking companies and other heavy duty users that actually talk to people about what their experience was are much more likely to find a partner like Volterra that can really make it very easy to do. Because there are so many elements of a successful project that you've got to manage. You've got to manage them well. So much specialized knowledge and expertise and new relationships to build that it takes a lot of dedication, a lot of resources to do it right.
You've probably got some horror stories to tell, but... What are some of the potential headaches that fleets run into that they absolutely weren't expecting when they started going out on this alone?
Yeah, as I said earlier, the power is the biggest surprise for most groups. Some fleets that want to go big. I recall, one fleet I worked with. They went out to get they found a consultant to help them put together a proposal. To understand what it would take to electrify their full fleet yard. And the response was that they would need 15 megawatts of new capacity, which is enormous amount of power. And really not feasible. What we learned in engaging with them is that with better utilization of their fleet, better operating plan, smart charging and a little bit of energy storage and some other neat tricks that we've learned in this business, we got that down to less than 5 megawatts of new capacity needed, which is still a lot of power, but it's doable. So we find that quite a bit, that power is that biggest challenge. People also underappreciate, I think, the permitting that is required to build a massive project like this. At large facilities, where you're going to have hundreds of vehicles potentially charging, density of parking on the site can be impacted. The permits and land use is an interesting challenge for many municipalities who have never really seen this before. The permits can take a long time. Getting the right vehicles can be a challenge. Operationally, reorienting your entire workforce around a different type of vehicle, different types of maintenance requirements, that can take a lot of time. And then the overall energy management at a site, getting the software, getting it integrated and optimized for your site. They're all of these little things that people don't really think about. when you're going to do this at scale. If you're going to buy 5 electric trucks and plug those in and charge them slowly overnight, that's a bit of an easier thing to take on. But if you need high power charging for 50 trucks in a single yard, it's a massive infrastructure development project. I say this not to scare people off, because it's all doable, but it really matters to having the right partner and the right support team with you.
I don't think I'd want to go into this alone, I'll tell you that. Can you put the megawatt thing into perspective for us? It's a number that rolls off the tongue nicely, 5 megawatts, 10 megawatts. What does that mean in terms of the number of trucks that you can power? And maybe you can give us a comparison to what 5 megawatts does today, like powering a city block.
That's great. To put it into a little bit of perspective, if you're looking at heavy duty class 8 trucks, these are big vehicles with huge batteries. 6 or 7 megawatts worth of power is probably going to allow you to deploy a fleet of probably 70 vehicles.
70? Okay.
Yeah. It depends a lot on the type of charging, how fast you need to do it. There's a lot that goes into that. This can, if you need max power over a short period of time, you can be looking at that level of total charge capacity that you might need. Most fleets, if they can, will stretch out the window of charge time. So mm-hmm. that if you don't have to, charge them quickly and get them back on the road, you can stretch it out overnight. You can reduce the total megawatts that you need and charge more vehicles on the capacity you have. So it really depends. The other question you mentioned, you're thinking about how much power some of this represents. You think about something in the 5 megawatt range being the equivalent of some of the largest skyscrapers that we have, all of the power used in some of these massive office and other buildings.
Okay.
Would be what it would take to charge up, say, 50 trucks. That goes back to that question about the rewiring of the grid that we've got to do. We've got to build that level of capacity everywhere that we want to have a big fleet of trucks charging.
Well, I guess what we need to do is send all those people home, let them work remotely, turn off the power, then we'll have all kinds of megawatts to play with. Why?
Yeah,
maybe not.
That's right. And there are some really interesting innovations that are coming down the pipeline with vehicle to grid technologies and others that where you can actually use the vehicle's battery to help manage the energy use at the place that they're parked. So whether that's somebody taking it home and being able to provide backup power in the event of a power outage to the home, or in a large fleet yard, being able to sell energy back to the grid at peak times and get paid for it, or helping to smooth out the loads across a large manufacturing facility. So there are lots of interesting ways that these fleets are going to be able to help strengthen and reinforce the grid in addition to just pulling a lot of power from the grid as well.
Generally, is it easier for a big fleet or a small fleet to do this?
Good question. The big fleets tend to have more resources and more capability to take on bigger projects, but their projects tend to be much more complex. Smaller fleets often can get away with very much simpler deployments where they might not need to bring a lot of new excess power to the site. I'll say bigger fleets challenges are bigger, but they tend to have more resources. Smaller fleets, more straightforward. Where it really is a problem is for the sort of medium-sized fleets, because they're big enough that they have the same complicated challenges around the deployment that they need, and they typically don't have the staffing and the resources that some of the bigger fleets do. So a lot of those fleets are the ones that we find are looking for third-party solutions. They would love to just have a place adjacent to their distribution center or a facility where charging is already available. Somebody's already taken care of that, and they can just contract for spaces at a site and use somebody else's site. It's a lot faster to getting it done and avoids the headache.
Well, let's talk a bit about what you do then. Can you walk me through, a typical, if there's such a thing, project from sort of start to finish? You get a phone call from a fleet. How does Volterra get involved, and what comes at the other end?
Yeah, there. Well, you're right. There is no typical charging project.
I guess not.
If you've seen one project, you've seen one project, because they are all quite different. Our approach with the customer, it sort of depends on where they are in their electrification journey. But we have some customers that are very early. We're doing the first electrification projects for them. And others that have some experience already. Where we often start is with the real estate. We want to understand where their vehicles are going, what the use case is, and where's the place that's going to be most convenient for them. It's somewhere either on their existing site or right next to an existing site where they're parking vehicles. And then for some, it's on connector routes between where the vehicles dwell and then where they're headed to, that they need that. So we start with understanding where's the real estate need. We then, and often we do this in combination with the customer, we go out and find all of the right properties that we think are good fits, bring them back, agree together, and then we'll go buy the property and begin the process of entitlements getting the utility power to the site. We typically manage all of the permitting, all of the incentives, so any grants that are available, we go find those. And then we manage the construction projects to build the kind of infrastructure that that specific customer needs. And we're doing that. And then we will turn over the facility, we'll lease it out to them, fully built out, fully commissioned, and then we can provide the operations maintenance services over time. That's a lot of what we're doing today, because customers just need capacity today. Independent of that, we're also going out on our own and finding great property for charging, even if there are no customers quite ready yet there. And we'll develop those sites on our own so that when the customers are ready, we'll have that power available for them.
Boy, that's even finding real estate these days is a... Unless you're in North Dakota, that's a bit of a challenge, right?
Yeah, that's right. And the other big thing that is really appealing to our customers is the fact that we're putting up all the capital. So that's another big challenge for a lot of companies is I might have to spend $3 or $4 million on a site to electrify one of my sites. And finding the capital budget to do that is tough. So
yeah.
Having a partner like us that just goes out and builds it all, does it, and has it ready turnkey is pretty attractive.
Well, the obvious question is, and I don't expect dollars and cents as an answer here, but how do fleets pay for that? Is it a turnkey solution? Is it lease payments? How do you bill them for all these wonderful things you do?
For most of our customer relationships today, it's a pretty straightforward lease type arrangement where we set a price for them for based on the amount of megawatts of capacity and the number of electrified stalls that they need to use, so that we have a pretty simple monthly payment for them on the base lease, and then any energy that they use we do pass through to them. So that's the way that a lot of our customers prefer to transact today. There are other models in the industry and in the business that you like to charge by the kilowatt hour and just load all of the cost of the infrastructure into that price. We're pretty flexible with our customers on how they want to do this today. But most of the time, it's a simple monthly payment for use of the site.
Okay, and this might be sensitive, but how does that compare with the cost of diesel? I mean, at the end of the day, this has to work in a business model. So their monthly payment, is it going to be comparable to what they're paying now?
Yeah, this is one of the really interesting things about this business model. When you look at without a partner like Volterra, what a customer typically needs to do is go out and buy vehicles, buy the infrastructure. There's this big upfront payment for them. And what we offer as an industry is the ability to get rid of that upfront payment and spread the payments out over time and take what was a big capital expenditure and just make it part of your operating costs. The reason that it works so well for electric vehicles is the fact that the vehicles are so much more efficient, use so much less energy per mile. Mm-hmm. And in most places, the electricity energy that you're using is much less expensive than diesel. So you typically have a really nice savings per mile on the cost of fuel and a savings per mile on the cost of your maintenance, because electric vehicles are just radically simpler vehicles. Yep. So instead of what you might normally have to do with a diesel truck, the truck's not that expensive. The infrastructure you don't have to invest in, but you're paying for it in the fuel and the maintenance. With an electric vehicle, it's the opposite. There's a higher upfront cost and lower costs over time. We're just flattening that out so that the capital and the operating costs feel very much like what you experience with a diesel today. So okay. For most customers in a lot of places, there's a very attractive total cost of ownership story. And yep. working with someone like us, again, flattening out that cost, it feels to a customer like paying for diesel every month.
Okay. One more question before we wrap up, yeah. Matt. The question of public charging, I gather most of what you're doing is going to be behind the fence or customer specific. Everybody's talking about public charging. How do you see that evolving over the next 5 years, 2 to 5 years? Are we going to have any soon, do you think?
Yeah, I believe we are. Public charging, it's a market that we're interested in. We're talking with a number of partners that are in that business today and are looking for someone like us to help them build out and develop and expand. What we believe on the trucking side we're going to see is that charging is going to start principally around ports and around regional transportation, localized transportation. That's where you'll see the first stations really going in that are going to be publicly available for heavy truck. Mm-hmm. Over time, that will expand to longer haul transportation and eventually to the freeway corridors. We have seen that same pattern play out on the light duty side, where we started out in urban areas with more charging available. Now you can go almost everywhere on a freeway in the United States and have fast charging for passenger car. We think that heavy trucking will follow the same logic. And so Okay. Today we're investing in ports and in kind of localized regional transportation centers. And in the next couple of years, you'll see that extend to freeway corridors as well.
I'll ask you one more. Just raise a point here only because my mind works like this. You mentioned earlier 6 to 7 megawatts would power about 70 trucks. Typical truck stop probably fuels 200 to 300 trucks a day. Just doing the math, I mean, where the heck do you get that kind of energy at a Love's truck stop somewhere in
Arizona? Just to clarify, there's some technology that we still need to be able to do that. There's what's called the megawatt charging standard, so that yep. at any given time you could have a truck plugged into a megawatt of power, and so we get to those levels of charge, you'll be able to cycle vehicles through much more quickly, and you can start to have more of that truck stop type of model where you don't need to sit for 3 hours to fully charge a vehicle. We're slowly working toward that. We're not there today, and not fully. There are some early technology, and I think it's got a lot of promise. We also see for some customers interest in hydrogen as a fuel. It's still an electric platform, an electric yep. powertrain, but the hydrogen fueling does feel a lot more like that traditional truck stop, very short fill times.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be a balance, for different kinds of fleets with different needs. These zero emission technologies are maturing pretty quickly, but the underlying element and theme is we're going to need a lot of power to be able to provide that energy to these vehicles. Indeed. And it's an exciting challenge ahead of us.
Well, I thank you so much for sharing that with us. That was a really great discussion. Opened my eyes quite a bit. I'd like to come back in a couple of years and talk to you and see how many more gray hairs you have.
I got a good head start through. On that, but plenty more.
We do,
that.
Yeah. All right. Matt Horton, thanks so much, sir. I do appreciate your time today.
Great. Thank you, Jim.
Don't forget to subscribe to Heavy Duty Trucking's YouTube channel and to give us a like. That helps other people to find us. Check out our other social media channels as well. We're on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. And remember, there's lots of great written content about the trucking industry on our website, truckinginfo.com. I'm Jim Park. Thanks for watching.